This morning's scripture text comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to listen to Paul as he writes to the Jewish and Gentile Christians in Rome. Sometimes, God, we are overwhelmed with his words and his thoughts, and so we pray that you might make them clear for us this morning. All this we pray. Amen. I'm pretty sure that there are only two benefits of growing up with three sisters. I thought there were three, but I was wrong, because there really is only two. The greatest benefit was that I didn't have to share anything. My own room, my own clothes, and none of them were hand-me-downs. The other benefit was that since there were four of us, the chance of getting away with something increased 75%. So if one of us was feeling squirrely and did something we weren't supposed to, there were three other potential culprits that we could blame. It was great. The downside to this was that there were three other people that could drag you into their shenanigans. That was especially the case for Yvonne and I. She was my next oldest sister. The two of us were the middle children, because basically we were angels. Rachel and Kareth, the oldest and the youngest, those two, they were the shenanigators. That's the word I saw on Facebook about the instigator of shenanigans, the shenanigators. They got us into more trouble. I don't know about how you all grew up, but I remember more than once the lineup. That was where Rachel or Kareth did something wrong well enough that mom and dad couldn't get to the bottom of it. If we got to the lineup, that usually meant some form of communal justice would be issued. If no one came clean, then all of us were implicated. All four of us were guilty. Since there wasn't an individual claiming responsibility, then we were all responsible. From my mom and dad's perspective, we were all in cahoots. And since we were all in this together, we would all be punished together. I'm sure that I'm not the only
brother or siblings that have been through that, right? It turns out that this type of lineup communal justice was a way of life in Judaism, except it was on a much grander scale. The ancient Jews never really thought of themselves as individuals. They belonged to someone, to a family, to a tribe, to a clan, to a nation. It was so ingrained in the fabric of their personal and communal lives that they would refer to themselves as belonging to a family, a clan, a tribe, a nation first, and then offer personal information second. The Old Testament is filled with references that described people belonging to particular tribes. Nowadays, it's difficult for us to come up with the names of our great-grandparents, but the writers of the Old Testament could offer the names of generation after generation after generation of people belonging to all different tribes. Solidarity to these family and kin groups was so important. Because of the emphasis placed on the group, if one person messed up, that transgression fell to all the people. There's a great example of this in Joshua 7. And church, I really want you to hear to this first verse that comes up. Pay attention to the communal and the individual ramifications in one verse. But the Israelites, the people, broke faith in regard to the devoted things. Ashan, one person, Ashan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Sarah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the Israelites. The Israelites. God had commanded that when the Israelites had conquered Jericho, everything in Jericho was to be destroyed. But Ashan acted alone and kept some of the spoils for himself. He alone defied God's command. This came to light later on when the Israelites, the group, attempted to conquer the small little town of Ai, and they failed miserably. Joshua went before God and asked why their attempt to overthrow Ai was thwarted, and God told him that the Israelites, the people, not one person, but all of them had disobeyed God's command. The entire nation had sinned, and as a nation would be punished. Ashan's sin was not one man's sin, but the sin of the nations. The nation was not a collection of individual people, but a mass of people in solidarity. Fast forward a couple of hundred years, and as Paul was writing to the Jewish and Gentile Christians in first century Rome, the idea of solidarity was how he considered Adam. Adam was not an individual. He was one of all humanity, and because of this, his sin was the sin of all. Because Adam decided to act on his own and in defiance of God's commandment to not eat of the forbidden tree, not only did he, but so did all of humanity, sin against God, and he and all of humanity was held accountable. The result of his sin was that he would no longer enjoy life in paradise. He would spend his time laboring and toiling, and when it was all said and done, would die a physical death. Paul made the case that since Adam's punishment was death, and the fact that humans have been dying ever since, prove that all humans are guilty of sin. With one exception, every single human being has or will die. That is our punishment. Our punishment was brought on by one man, Adam. Into this situation comes Jesus. And so Paul makes another incredible argument. To the Christians in Rome, he writes that since all of humanity was in solidarity with Adam and as a result condemned to death, so humanity is in solidarity with Jesus Christ and as a result are acquitted and given the gift of eternal life. Adam's sin brought death, and Jesus' sinlessness conquered it. Basically, all humanity had messed up, and messed up so well that there was no possible way to recover from it. There was no way out. Humanity had fallen prey to sin. And then God gave us an incredible gift. And this gift Paul talks about in verses 15 through 17. Part of verse 15 says that, "For if the many died through the one man's trespass," Adam's sin, "much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Jesus entered the world, and because of him, who he was and what he did was the free gift that allowed humanity a release from their condemnation. The world was in ruin, but rescued by Christ. Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and I apologize that we had to skip Ash Wednesday because Ash Wednesday kicks off the entire season. 46 days. If you take Sundays out, it's 40 days. Lent is a season during which we are encouraged to pay special attention to our own sinful acts, the way we have fallen short in God's eyes and in our community. We all have sinned. It is in our nature, and that is what separates us from God. We, like the ancient Israelites so long ago, when they were unclean and had sinned, must traipse ourselves outside the city walls and join the rest of the sinners and the unclean and the outcasts among the trash, the city waste, and the burn pile. And if it weren't for God's free gift, that's exactly where we would remain, on a trash heap outside the city walls. Out there beyond the city walls with all of those other discarded sinners, that is where Jesus meets us. He gathers all of us up and asks us to trust him. He has a plan that will wash the dirt and grime off, a plan to save us from our own sins. His grace will pick us up from the trash heap and lead us onto a path toward forgiveness and redemption, to salvation, to eternal life with God. And so I think together as a community, we can thank God. Thank you, God, for this free gift, the gift of Jesus Christ that rescued us from our own ruin and delivered us into a beautiful and perfect beginning. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, we thank you for sending us your free gift. And as this season of Lent kicks off and continues until April, we pray that we might spend that time thinking about our own separation from you, that without you we would deserve to be eternally separated from you. Instead, God, you have sent us your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Redeemer, our salvation. And because of that, God, we have every reason in the world to worship and praise you. All of this we pray in Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people say, Amen.